everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob on the other side of the glass. Bob, do you realize very soon we'll be in our new studios right next door to the putting down the carpet today? So that's always a good sign when they get to that level, right? It is the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, December the 5th, 2018. You're listening to AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for, this is kind of our new logo, Trusted Local News and Talk. I like that. With our new company, the company is not new, but they're new to us, and we were very happy with the arrangement with Portland, Oregon-based Bustos Media, which now owns KVOI. They have made a big commitment to local programming, which I really like. We're local talk here from 6 a.m. to 7 o'clock in the evening. Our show, of course, stays during the noon hour. That's where I like it, where we have been on the radio since January 2011. Have every program there in the archive, with the exception, maybe a dozen or so shows that aren't up there, but it's at buckmastershow.com. That's the archive. That's my website. Of course, you have live streaming there. Also live streaming KVOI.com. The live line number is 790-2040 if you would like to join us on this National Day of Mourning for President Bush. I also learned on Facebook that today is National Comfort Food Day. Who knew? I mean, Jim Cantrell is with us from Vector. Vector, of course, the space company here in Tucson doing so well. Are you a comfort food guy? And if so, Jim, what do you like?
My heart likes comfort food, but my body rejects. So macaroni and cheese would be the top of the list.
I would go to that every time, but I will stay away from it. It is probably, just looking at it, 250 calories.
Yeah, I'll stick with the salad at my age.
Vector doing great things. For folks that don't know, the company is now, I want to say, 2.5 years old.
About 2.5. We're closing in on our third year come March next year.
Give our listeners the elevator pitch about Vector.
Yeah, so Vector is a space access company, and by space access, what we mean is we transport satellites into orbit, and we also have products that are positioned for later digital access to orbit. So we see the space industry following what was really the PC industry back in the 80s when I was a young man, and they were once big machines tied to desktops and eventually became these things we carry around in our pockets. Satellites are doing the same thing, so we're building a new generation of satellite launchers here in Tucson that can carry more numerous but much smaller satellites into orbit. So it's a sea change in the market, and we're right on top of that. And eventually we see the space being kind of like elevators, actually space technology being like elevators were to New York City and Manhattan. It raised the skyline and raised the real estate volume in the city, and we see the space economy being the same thing, fueled by this, and ultimately it's going to be a digital economy, and that's why our galactic sky is going to eventually be probably our biggest value in the company.
How about money-wise? How difficult was it to get Vector off the ground?
It's never easy, and we started off with some seed rounds about 2.5 years ago. And Desert Angels, our local group, was one of our early investors and huge believer in us. And we raised several million dollars out of those guys. And it's a little bit like when you go sport fishing. You know, you take the – when you catch a fish, you think, oh, this is breakfast. But actually, you chop it up and throw it back in the water, and you catch a bigger one. And so that's kind of what we were doing with the early money and creating enough progress to go out and get bigger money. We scored $21 million on a Series A about a year and a half ago. Sequoia Capital, which is the benchmark of VCs, led that investment
out of the Bay Area.
Yeah,
right?
The Bay Area. Yeah, they've funded a few companies you may have heard of, like Apple and LinkedIn, and so here we are on the wall with those guys. And then most recently, we closed a $70 million Series B round. It was led by Morgan Stanley and another group called Codem Growth Partners out of New York City. And we also had participation by all our earlier investors, including the Desert Angels.
Why Tucson?
So, good question. I moved here about 10 years ago through sort of a random set of happenstance. But when we started Vector, I went back to one of my original partners at SpaceX, John Garvey, and he'd been trying to build this small rocket for the last 15 years. And I said, hey, Garvey, why don't I sell my SpaceX stock and we'll start a new company called Vector and buy your company. So we got, you know, we're a startup, but we've really kind of been in business, you know, 18 years. And it occurred to us that the rocket talent was, in terms of engineer, was out in Los Angeles near SpaceX, and that the manufacturing talent is actually here in Tucson, you know, owing to both the aviation industries and Raytheon, who builds, you know, thousands and thousands of weapon systems a year, which is really what we're trying to do with our rockets, putting in mass production. So we find not only is the skill set appropriate for Vector, but the state is very friendly to new business, which is not what you can say about California all the time.
How do you manufacture your product?
So it's done here in Tucson, and we buy some of the parts, you know, through a supply chain that is, you know, outside of Arizona and inside of Arizona. But all the assembly is done here in Tucson. It's much like Model Ts were done 100 years ago, and we hand assemble them on a moving assembly line. And we've got a little small interim factory over on Toole Avenue near downtown, and it's about 60,000 square feet. That's good enough for start for us. And, you know, we have about 140 people at the moment, and we'll be growing that over time, but we're probably never more than about a 500-person company and very profitable at that because of our mass manufacturing approach.
We're speaking with Jim Cantrell. Jim is the CEO and the co-founder of Vector Launch Incorporated. There was a nice piece about Jim and his company in the New York Times recently. In the article, it says Vector claims that it can send its rockets into orbit from almost any place. It can set up its mobile launch platform, which is basically, I guess, a heavily modified trailer.
Yeah. It's a big text trailer that we bought, paid $20,000 for it, and added $1 million of equipment on top of it. Yeah, it's actually set up right now at our test site out in Pinal County, out near the air park out there. And we've got a real rocket on top of it, and we're doing testing and running all the software updates through our mission operations center down in Orange County, California. So the idea is that we only need a flat pad of concrete to launch our rockets. Now, we're not going to launch them from Arizona. You can't fly over land because of safety considerations. So our first launches will be out of Alaska, up where they had the earthquakes. Mm-hmm. And so we're dealing with the consequences of the earthquake on our launch schedules. But you know, it illustrates why we don't want to sink concrete and steel into a given pad anywhere in the United States. There's about 5 launch ranges we can operate out of, and we plan to be flexible and operate out of all of them.
I didn't realize it had to be by water, the launch, just because you just safety reasons. And
well, so the FAA
does the FAA monitor all of that?
Oh, yeah. It's completely licensed by the FAA. And in order to get the license, you have to demonstrate that your probability of hurting somebody is below a certain threshold. And if you're, you know, in the middle of nowhere, let's say, I don't know, nowhere in North Dakota, you might get away with it. But by and large, there are very few opportunities to do that unless you fly over water. Now, that being said, I'm supporting the spaceport effort in Yuma, which we think flying south out over Baja for a short distance where there's actually no population and out over the water actually makes sense. So we may be eventually flying our rockets out of Yuma, Arizona, and that would be great for us.
We'll talk after the break about Jim Cantrell's relationship with SpaceX and, of course, the infamous Elon Musk. Jim knows Mr. Musk quite well. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about his hobby, which is auto racing. You had a race recently, right, Jim?
Yeah, we did 2 8-hour races at Circuit of the Americas, the Formula One track.
How did you do?
Well, on Saturday, we got 7th and 8th place, and on Sunday, we lost one car, and the other one got 6th place.
Mm, very nice. And you're running
Porsches. Yeah.
Why do you prefer the Porsche?
I used to run Corvettes until I kept getting beat by Porsches, so I had to buy a Porsche.
There you go. We'll speak more with Jim Cantrell, but first we want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Jim, do you like bakery goods?
Unfortunately, I do.
Very very appropriate today on National Comfort Day to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Oh, what a great place this is for the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. The owner and chief baker, Steve, does such a great job with all of those baked goods. Now would be a great time to get your order in for all your Christmas goodies. They've got plenty of them right now. Go by also, if you're in the area, for lunch. I love their breads. My goodness, my favorite is the rustic bread, the hot turkey rustic sandwich. Can't beat it. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's, or you can go directly to their website, monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back with Jim Cantrell. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I want to tell all of our listeners about Green Things, my favorite nursery in town. They've got 25,000 poinsettias. I don't know if they've got 25,000 still left, but I know that's how many that they were growing in numerous greenhouses. And so they're grown here, so they're going to do better you know, their hometown poinsettias. What else can you say? Green Things is located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. I was over there over the weekend taking a look at their new Zocalo Village. They've got it's like a Mexican village, and they've got all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America from the store that was Zocalo, and it used to be over by Broadway and Country Club. Well, now Zocalo is part of the Green Things family on their 13-acre site. So there's a lot going on at Green Things. There is a lot going on with the Tucson-based Vector Launch Incorporated. Jim Cantrell is with us, CEO and co-founder. He worked for Elon Musk at SpaceX and decided to depart, I assume, on good terms, right, Jim?
Oh, yeah. Part of my departure was a decision that really wasn't passionate about what he was passionate about, which was going to Mars. And so I decided to go my own way because I was passionate about building things and making money.
SpaceX could have cornered this market on the small satellite launch in that area about actually a decade ago. Why did they... Was it just something that they felt was not sexy enough for them, or what?
Well, so the satellite market's changed, and the focus of SpaceX has always been on humans and sending humans to Mars. I used to tell people 15 years ago, they wouldn't believe me, that Elon's entire goal of SpaceX was actually to build a vehicle to go to Mars with and to send himself to Mars, and now he's said that he's actually going to do that. So I've been proven true on that, and his way of paying for doing this was through NASA contracts of taking astronauts to the space station and then sending large geostationary satellites into orbit. So the problem has been that that market of geostationary satellites has dropped from 25 to about 5 a year, and it's hurt everybody. So he's the only one left that's launching those, and so he's in effect getting out of the satellite launch market because it's all going small. Just yesterday, there was a launch of a Falcon 9 with 62 satellites on it, one of which is a company I'm on the board of. But that's probably one of the last of that sort because it's so much more expensive, as it turns out, despite going on a big vehicle, it's more expensive per satellite to do that because they have to wait for years, and time is money. So that's where Vector's different is we build the small ones. So it's going to be hard for them to retool to go small to make this happen. They could certainly pivot and do that, but they'd have to maintain their other product to go to Mars.
You think he can overcome all these huge issues that still need to be worked out with sending a human to Mars?
So two comments on that. One is, and I never, ever am in the business of underestimating Elon. Every time I've thought he would fail, and I thought SpaceX would fail, that's why I left. I've been proven utterly wrong, so I won't do that again. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's certainly within the realm of possibility. It's mostly a question of risk. So there's no invention that has to really happen. No fundamental things have to be invented. It's a matter of how much human risk you're willing to take. And if it's Elon sending himself, I believe he's willing to take all the risks necessary.
Mm-hmm. But there are all these issues about muscle loss and all those – I don't know. What is the travel time? Is it 6 months or something?
So depends on the kind of trajectory, but it's 6 to 12 months. Mm-hmm. And you're right. There's an atrophy of muscles. And some of our astronauts that have been in orbit for a year, there's some that are from Tucson that have spent that long in space that they come back and they have a hard time readapting to Earth gravity. And even the heart atrophies. So there's a lot of physiology that has to be done. But nobody waited for all these things about scurvy and these other things before they came to the new world.
That's true.
They just got on the boat and did it.
They did it indeed. What kind of launches have you had so far in the past? Kind of fill our listeners in.
So we bought Garvey Spacecraft Corporation, which had been in business 15 years, and they did 41 launches. And then since then, we built two of our full-scale Vector Rs and launched them. We've got a third one that's here in Arizona as we speak. We are planning to launch it, but we may end up not launching it because it's so valuable to our engineering efforts. And we've got another one planned for Alaska in quarter one next year that'll go to space. So the prior two were, 20,000 feet kind of things to prove mostly the ground operations and some of the basic propulsion technology.
You're on how much? Is it 350 acres?
Out at Pinal County?
Yeah,
it's something like that.
Do they still have the graveyard for for old 747s
yes.
and
yes.
L-1011s, some of those great planes that I flew on a long time ago. They're still out there, right?
Sad to see them sitting there.
I guess
yes.
they use them for parts and stuff?
That seems to be what yeah. generally happens with yeah. those, you know, and a lot of them got moved out of California because California started taxing them. So just assets sitting on the runway.
So where's your market going? I'm sure there's a lot of interest from the commercial end of things as we go, as you articulated in the first segment, we go to a downsizing of just about everything.
Right. So the market's is right now about $300 billion a year in space, of which our addressable market is in the order of about $10 billion a year. So we see that growing over the next 10 years. Morgan Stanley thinks that space will be a $2 trillion economy by 2040. So, you know, by all means, anytime the space economy grows, our market grows because we're at the bottom of it. It doesn't matter which segment does well. We're going to do well as a result. What we're seeing right now is an explosion of commercial space, and this is replacing in some ways, but not completely, government space. And so it's gone from a government-dominated market to a commercially-dominated market, as it should. The government, albeit might want to do it, it can't make iPhones economically, so it buys them. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing is happening in the space business, where the government will come to us to buy our launch vehicles rather than try to build them and market them to themselves. So we see a fairly strong government interest in what we're doing. We have everything from the U.S. military to foreign governments to NASA who are actively talking to us, and we have some contracts with the U.S. military. But I would say right now it's about 80 to 75%, somewhere in there, commercial.
Is your company privately held?
Yes, we're privately held. We
Thoughts about maybe going public? Or
that is our nominal plan, is mm-hmm. to go public. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, everybody has opinions, and I have lots of people who say that's the worst idea in the world.
Right.
But, you know, my responsibility is to my shareholders and to my employees to give them liquidity, and that's one of the better ways to do it. There's not been a space company in quite some time that's gone public.
Mm-hmm.
I think SpaceX missed that boat.
Yeah.
And so my gut sense is that the public offering would be a very, very popular thing.
Jim Cantrell is with us. Jim is the CEO, co-founder of the Tucson-based Vector Launch Incorporated, which is moving forward and really, I think, in the long term, not even in the short term, is helping our economy. You mentioned there are over right now, I think you said 140 employees,
correct.
Jim.
Yeah.
Jim's a guy who can build anything. He was telling me before the show today that 14 years old, he built a full stereo system. And he's just one of these, I guess, kind of a tinker, right? Tinkering with stuff.
Yeah, if you own an English car, you tinker. If you own race cars, you build them.
Well, you build stuff.
Yeah, I like to build stuff.
You
That's
build stuff.
What I describe myself as.
I mean, went to Utah State and then had a really interesting background in Europe. Can you kind of summarize that really quickly, Jim?
Sure. So, yeah, right out of college, I got an internship at JPL, who builds all the outer space.
The Jet Propulsion Laboratory,
Jet Propulsion Lab, NASA. Mm-hmm. And through that, I met a bunch of folks from France and the Soviet Union. This was back in the 1980s. I ended up going to the French Space Agency in late 89 to work on a French-Soviet space program. It was a Mars lander. And when the Soviet Union broke up and I was in the middle of all of that, I came back to the United States. Then I got taken back to the former Soviet Union to help stop brain drain of scientists and weapon scientists from going to Iran and North Korea. So
wow.
we were putting money, U.S. government money, back into the economy over there because nobody was getting paid. So I did that until about 1996. Then it ended up in sales and so forth. And then Elon Musk called me out of the blue in 2001. And he called me because one of the things I was an expert in is Russian rockets. We converted ICBMs that used to carry nuclear warheads to satellite launchers. We launched a few satellites out of Russian submarines in the late 90s on some private money.
Wow.
And also worked that, you know, with some of the earlier government money. So that's how I ended up connected with Elon and SpaceX. And he originally wanted to send mice to Mars. And we went over to Russia to buy Russian rockets, and they wouldn't sell him the rockets. And so he said, to hell with it, we'll build them ourselves.
Does the French space agency still launch out of French Guiana?
They sure do, yeah.
Devil's Island, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they do it on Devil's Island, but that is, of course, where Devil's Island is.
Yeah, it's one of the best places in the world to launch. So uh-huh. The French have the prime real estate.
All right, Jim Cantrell, looking for big things for you in 2019. All the best, and
thank
we
you.
Like to bring you in, I don't know, every at least 4 or 5 months, get an update on what you're doing, and again, to tell your story, which is a very, very interesting one and a provocative story, I think. It's a story that I think has a bright future. Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Always a pleasure.
All right, coming up on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, we'll have our CAP Water Quarterly Report right after this. And before we go, we want to tell you about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, our great sponsor over in that area. Jim, have you been over to that part of the world?
Absolutely gorgeous part of the world.
It is an absolutely gorgeous part of the world. We send a lot of listeners over there. People saying, you know, I had no idea. It's only a 3-hour drive. It's basically head east, take a left at the Lordsburg interchange, and take about 45 minutes, and you're up in the high country in Silver City, and it's a great time of year up there.
One of the great undiscovered parts of the world.
It is. It really is. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find a great list of things to do, and there's no shortage of things to do and great places to stay. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on KVOI with local talk now from 6 a.m. to 7 o'clock in the evening. Our new owner is very committed to the local talk, and they're to be applauded for that, Bustos Media. Once a quarter here on the Buckmaster Show, we focus on what I consider to be Arizona's most important resource, and I think I have some folks who would back me up on that, and that most important resource is water, because without it, we'd be in big trouble. Our Arizona Water Quarterly is presented by the Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Karen Caesar. Karen is a member of one of the Tucson representatives on the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. Karen, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing very well. This is a quarterly series, and this is our final quarter of the year, a perfect time to kind of look back and see what kind of year it was.
I know. It's hard to believe that 2018 is coming to a close. I think feels like we just did our wrap-up show.
It feels like we just started our first talking about the challenges in 2018. Now we're looking back over how things have been going.
Yeah, no, and it's a good opportunity to look back because it's been a really good and really busy year.
And I know I wanted to talk a little bit about an update on the CAP board and some of the related task force. The last time you were with us, you were discussing, I think it's called the Customer Service Task Force. How's that coming along?
Well, you know, we've talked this year a lot about the task forces that CAP have, and we do the task forces when we want to focus on an issue. It's maybe a short-term issue that the board will focus on. It's not one of the standing committee issues that is year in and year out. So it allows us to take a deep dive into a particular issue, and so the use of task forces has allowed the board to be very engaged in a lot of specific activities and specific issues. And, you know, the customer service task force was a big one this year. And what we did with that is we worked really hard to ensure our stakeholder feedback was collected and that the recommendations that that task force made to the board were a reflection of that feedback. And that came, you know, continuous process improvement. Any good organization always wants to seek to improve. And the Customer Service Task Force was convened in order to be able to take a look at that and really make sure that we were understanding what our stakeholders needed from their board of directors.
You have a meeting tomorrow?
Yes, we have tomorrow we're going to have a meeting. We have our monthly board meeting, and that will be our last board meeting for the year. And at that board meeting, we will be hearing from our staff on some of the short-term recommendations, the action plans from the task force.
Previously, you were discussing a task force that focused, Karen, on water quality. Is that work moving forward?
That work is also almost completed. The water quality task force is almost the opposite end of the spectrum from the customer service task force. That being really focused on customer feedback and like I said, customer service. The water quality task force is a highly technical task force, and we worked with stakeholders again, including many people from Southern Arizona, Tucson Water, and other some of our other water customers down here. And what they were doing was developing a set of proposals. And they're dealing with the 300 constituents or things, basically, that could go into the water if non-project water is put in the canal. So they're trying to come up with proposed numeric criteria for all these constituents. And I think that that task force will finalize that early in the year, and those recommendations will then be forwarded to the board for action.
And so there's just a big deal, I guess, the water quality that goes in the CAP canal.
Well, right? It's a big deal, and we have right now, and just I'll take a moment, right now Project Water is just another word for the Colorado River water that we deliver from the Colorado River to our customers.
I see.
A system use agreement that was finalized a couple years ago now allows non-project water to also travel in the canal. And that really helps us manage our water resources in Arizona. But we just want to make sure if you put non-project water into our canal, mm-hmm. you're not putting something in there that's going to impact our operations or our customers' operations. And so the quality of that water is really important in figuring that all out before people start adding different water supplies to our canal is essential.
Yeah, that makes sense. There was also one more task force you mentioned during the year, which you were discussing. I think it's about excess water.
Right. And another one we had early on this, you know, and like I said, this seems like almost another, you know, lifetime ago
yes.
by this stage of the game. But the Excess Water Task Force focused on the amount of water that is used, resold, or exchanged according with long-term CAP contracts and subcontracts. And that's water in excess of what our customers get delivered. That task force reviewed existing policies related to the use of the excess water and with the intent, again, with forwarding recommendations to the board.
They made two recommendations, correct, this task force?
Started off with two recommendations, and one, and again, these recommendations came about because of the extensive public involvement and stakeholder feedback we had in that task force. And I'm just going to interject here, all of our task forces, all of our meetings, everything is open to the public, and if it's at CAP headquarters, it's live streamed.
It's fully transparent.
Fully transparent, and it's an opportunity for people to come and talk to the board and share their viewpoints, You know, we want to hear from our public and our, you know, the people that we serve. So one of the things that they our stakeholders wanted was some increased accounting, reporting, and publication of that data, increased transparency on what is done with the excess water. So those things will be available through publication of our annual operating plan, or AOP, because we love acronyms in the water world. That's available online, and we'll provide details about the upcoming year's water operations.
And, of course, the challenge is the shortage. That's a key word.
Right, yeah. The second recommendations are related to what the CAP board has, what we call an access to excess policy. And some of that is we're working on it, but it's sort of taken a pause while we are now really working on the Arizona Drought Contingency Plan, which I'll talk about in a minute. It's important to recognize that excess water in a shortage is the first supply of water to be cut. So we're very concerned about how to manage that excess water supply, but we also are cognizant of the fact that water supply may or may not be available to us in the coming years if we have a shortage.
This was a big year. It was the 50th anniversary of the Colorado River Basin Project Act, which was signed by President Johnson, that really authorized the whole CAP, right?
Exactly. Yeah, the passage of that legislation was really the culmination of many, many years of hard work by Arizona leaders that ultimately ensured water security for our state. And now CAP's elected board and staff are responsible for protecting, preserving, and enhancing what those leaders were able to fund and build. It's an incredible piece of infrastructure, and it took a lot of vision and a lot of, like I said, collaboration by Arizonans to get that done.
Karen, I think the big topic of the year was the Arizona Drought Contingency Plan and what we're going to do about all of that.
Absolutely. The Arizona Drought Contingency Plan is job one for anybody in Arizona that's working on water right now. We have been working diligently with ADWR, and that's the Arizona Department of Water Resources, and all other stakeholders to address a large range of issues that respect the concerns of everybody to bring the Drought Contingency Plan in Arizona to closure. And we've made great progress and are close to completing a framework that works for Arizona.
And, of course, 2020 is a big year, right?
Right, yeah. We are looking, you know, ahead that we've got better than even odds that a shortage will be declared in 2020. We will not be in shortage in 2019, But as soon as 2020, a shortage could be declared on the Colorado River. And it's really important that Arizona can join our colleagues in the upper and lower Colorado River Basin states to have a plan that's ready to go should a shortage be declared that year.
It's not easy, Karen Caesar, to try to please everybody that's involved in your business.
No, and I think when I sit on the steering committee as well with many different stakeholders and everybody has one quote was, you know, there's a lot for everybody not to like in
right.
the current plan.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has been really working hard, and it's been a long and difficult process, but it's been positive in this fact that when you see all the different stakeholders and constituencies coming together and making sacrifices for the greater good of Arizona to create a plan that is going to work for Arizona. And we have way more to lose by not having the plan than by everybody, you know, kind of sharing in some of the pain.
Can we get a quick update from you on the water supply?
Yes. The water supply right now, like I said, we know that we narrowly avoided a shortage in 2019, and much of not being in shortage next year, as well as, you know, all the previous years starting in about 2015, has been due to collaboration and conservation, leaving water in Lake Mead to make sure that those water levels don't dip below the threshold. Currently, Lake Mead's at 1079. That's 10,079 feet above sea level. 38% of capacity, and current modeling shows that there's about a 57% probability of shortage in 2020, and that goes up to 68% in 2021. So by my next update, I think we'll have a better reading on maybe the winter snowpack, which has a huge impact on the levels of Lake Mead and Lake Powell, and we'll have a better sense of where things are.
You have some new members. Wasn't there an election recently?
Yes, and there was with this election cycle, the CAWCD had 5 seats up for election, and they are going, the new members, and three returning and 2 new members will be sworn in tomorrow at our meeting and officially begin their service terms in January.
Pima County, how about their members?
Well,
your members on Pima County. There's 1 from Pinal, right?
Correct.
Pinal
yeah.
County, 4 from Pima County.
Correct. Yeah. There's a total of 15 members on the board, and every 2 years, 5 seats come up, so they're staggered terms.
Mm-hmm.
So this election was 5 seats in Maricopa County, and in 2 more years, then the 4 Pima County and 1 Pinal County seat will be up for election. And so that keeps, you know, mm-hmm. like I said, kind of keeps the staggered terms. We serve 6-year terms, and I think, you know, it's important, you know, for folks down here to, you know, remember 2 years goes by really fast. And since we only see this election once every 6 years here in Pima County, I think there's a lot of out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
So it's
under
not,
the radar.
Under the radar.
Yep.
So, you know, it's important for everybody to, you know, pay attention and vote. And, you know, 2020 will be here before we know it.
Hey, Karen, I want to wish you and yours and everybody associated with CAP and with your business here in town, happy Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, or whatever, Happy Kwanzaa. Great. Have a holiday.
I love it. Thank you so much. And to you and yours and everybody, a prosperous and healthy new year.
Thank you very much. Karen Caesar, always a pleasure. We'll look forward to Karen's first report with us in the first quarter on our Water Quarterly Series presented by Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Instead of cookies this Christmas, you can make Santa tingle, leave him a treat from Mona's, the home of the Danish Kringle. How's that? Mona's is my favorite bakery in town, and this is the time of year, my goodness. Danish Kringle kind of sounds like holiday time. Mona's Danish Bakery, Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Put your order in right now for your Danish Kringle for Christmas Eve morning or Christmas Day. Wouldn't that be a great way to start the big day? Call 579-1957 for more about Mona's Danish Bakery. It's time for our Your Meds segment with Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the former UA College of Medicine Dean, founder, and now President Emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute. Dr. Woosley's latest venture, a success as well, it's the creation of Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of medicine, and Credible Meds website. Very easy to use. People from all over the world, in fact, more than 180 countries now are checking it out, and you can visit crediblemeds.org today. How are you, Dr. Woosley?
I'm doing great, Bill. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back with you. What's all this stuff about these recalls of high blood pressure medication? I mean, a lot of people take high blood pressure medication, so there are a lot of worries.
There are. And before we talk about that, because, you know, I wanted to get your permission, I should have, but we always talk about problems. There was a very inspiring thing today I enjoyed that I just have to share with the public. The celebration of the life of George H.W. Bush mm-hmm. was inspiring, and it really gave me uplift. And if anybody listening still has a chance to see the ceremony of his life that they had today in the Washington Cathedral. It just changed my attitude. It was uplifting, and it, when I think about all the problems that we have with our health and our medicine, it shows what a life of service can do for our country and the standards that he set for us during his life. Really make me encouraged that life is going to be good on this earth because of people like him and the many people who serve our nation every day.
What a great career he had. I mean, it's shot down in the South Pacific at age 19, going on to a life of public service.
Yeah.
Two of the three, he was the only one surviving that crash in the Navy.
Yeah.
And luckily a submarine found him 4 hours after he'd been in the water. It's an amazing story.
It really is.
So here we got the FDA recalling some medicines, some medications that deal with high blood pressure.
Right. And these are very common medicines, very effective medicines that save lives. So the FDA did put out this warning that these blood pressure medicines, and they're also used for heart failure, mm-hmm. but they're cardiac heart medicines. And they found that two manufacturers that had been manufacturing in China had their product contaminated with a nitrosamine.
Hmm.
It's called NDMA. Long complex name, but these chemicals in trace amounts have been found in these, and the FDA is concerned and want to warn people. The companies are recalling these. But if you have one of these medicines on your shelf, you ought to contact their pharmacist and find out if it's one of the lots that have been recalled. And the other important message is, if you hear this, don't stop taking your medicine.
Right, that is so important.
Because the risk of these medicines...
It's very small, isn't it?
It's very small. But the risk of stopping these medicines could be great,
yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure people know, it's the general principle out there, frankly, that if you're taking medicines, keep up with them and use the help that's available at your pharmacy to stay up to date on these and know that these medicines, which are called valsartan or valsartan, which is combined with amlodipine and hydrochlorothiazide, losartan and irbesartan. The mm-hmm. sartans are drugs that have a very important way to lower your blood pressure by blocking the chemical that's naturally in your body called ACE. ACE inhibitors.
Will these go away, or are they just going to recall them and they'll deal with another manufacturer, I assume?
Right.
Yeah.
The pharmacies.
These medicines won't go away.
Oh, no. These medicines are life-saving.
Yes.
So they'll be there. You just need to make sure your pharmacy has gotten you a product that is not contaminated.
So the important message, again, that you want to get out there is if by chance this is one of those being recalled, doesn't mean you need to stop immediately taking the medicine.
Definitely. And we've got on our website a blog posting, thecrediblemeds.org website, so you can find a link to the list of these medicines. And in the blog we list the manufacturers, which often is on the pill bottle that you have, mm-hmm. so you can look. But I strongly encourage people, if you're taking one of the sartans. Now, there's some of the sartans, the candesartan, for example, that are not on this list. So mm-hmm. it's just, if you're taking a medicine for high blood pressure or heart failure, check with your pharmacist and see if there's this concern. These nitrosamines in high doses can cause liver cancer in rats. Mm. And there's the fear that they might cause cancer. They're labeled as a possible carcinogen. Some people call them probable carcinogens mm-hmm. because they can cause cancer at very high doses.
But there was a study in Denmark that followed, I think, over 5,000 patients taking these particular drugs, and they found no significant increased risk of cancer. So there you go.
Exactly. Yeah. They followed these people for 5 years. Now, maybe that's not enough.
Yeah.
So they're going to continue to follow these people to see. But in 5 years, 5,000 people didn't have any significant risk of cancer increase.
What about the flu? What about flu vaccine?
Be there early.
Do it.
And do it.
Yeah.
Just be sure, because that kills thousands of people every year. I mean, we're talking about medicines that the risk is very, very small. But the risk of getting flu, and if you're an elderly person or someone with an immune system that's impaired, you could lose your life to the flu this year.
How is CredibleMeds.org doing?
We're doing great. We have thousands of people that use our list. The medical information we make available is used by hundreds of thousands of people all over the world. Mm. I just got an email from a doctor in China who's offered to translate our website and our iPhone app into Mandarin.
Wow.
People in China really want to use it.
And it's easy to use.
We think it is. Let us know if it isn't. Mm-hmm. We have gotten a lot of feedback from the public. Now, the complication is we have three portals. We have one for the public, one for practicing healthcare providers, and one for researchers. Mm-hmm. So just those are three tabs. And if you're a member of the public, go to the tab that says for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be at a level, and it'll be the kind of information that is ideal for you. Now, you can go to the other tabs, too, but they're more for healthcare providers and more technical.
CredibleMeds.org. That is the website for the most up-to-date and trusted information. Dr. Woosley, it's great to have you back.
Good to be here, Bill.
Thank you so much. Dr. Ray Woosley, for our Your Meds segment. Took a couple of months off for Your Meds, but we're back now on our regular monthly basis with Dr. Woosley. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Woosley and my fine engineer-producer, Bob Dio, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening.